Time to check in with our look at CityScore 2020. It's from the American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy. And David Ribeiro, the lead report author, joins us this morning. David, how are you?
Good, good. Yourself?
Great. I guess Cleveland's doing pretty well related to your report. They scored among the top five cities for community-wide initiatives for the second year in a row. Can you explain, I guess, what are the criteria for this sort of thing?
Yeah, sure. So we look at what cities are doing across five different policy areas, looking at clean energy policies and programs. So we look at what are they doing to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in buildings and transportation in their own operations, meaning like their buildings and their fleet vehicles, as well as community-wide initiatives, like you were saying, and the activities of the utilities serving their city. So Cleveland came in 29th overall across all of those categories, 29th out of 100. So it's a top 30 city. And as you were saying, it's a top five city in one of the policy areas, because it has greenhouse gas reduction goals, it's on track for those goals, and it's also, you know, done other things like take steps to embed equity into its planning activities.
Who's the driving force behind some of this? Is it city officials? Is there community grassroots organizations? Like, who's sort of pioneering or at least heading up some sort of programs for this?
Yeah, so we, at the end of the day, we look at the policies and programs that are in place. So these are things that, you know, this has to go through the city council, or, you know, the mayor has championed. But at the end of the day, in every city, there's a whole ecosystem of players that make these policies move forward. So, you know, it would likely be a combination of both the city and people on the ground, stakeholders moving the ball down the field together.
According to your study, who's doing the best? What city is the one that's on top that everybody's looking at, or at least the ones leading the way?
Yeah, sure. So that would be New York City. They came in first, they're doing a number of things across the board, across all of those policy areas I was talking about, and they're sort of the clear number one. Though right behind them was Boston and Seattle, followed by Minneapolis and San Francisco, and all of those cities, and really all of the top 10 cities are, you know, really ambitious and doing good things.
David, when you take a look at that list, are there any surprises on there for you?
You know, not so much at the beginning of the list in the top 10. ACAAA has been doing this report for, since 2013. So it's been doing it for a while. And the top 10 has been the same, like 12, 13 cities, you know, shuffling between the top 10 and the top 12. And they just sort of rearrange from time to time. So that hasn't been too surprising. But at the same time, if you look further down the list, there were some surprises. So there were two cities that we called most improved because of the, you know, the amount that they moved up the rankings. And those were St. Paul, Minnesota, and St. Louis, Missouri. They both took pretty big steps relative to the other cities in the report.
What is it that New York is doing? I always think of a city like that, very congested, a lot of traffic. There's a lot of people, a lot of old line buildings there. How is modern technology and any of this sort of energy efficiency and all that stuff working their way into that? How does it lay over such an old city?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that all cities need to do, especially older cities, is focus on existing buildings, right? So how do you reduce greenhouse gas emissions from those buildings that have been around for a while and are going to continue being around? So New York City in the last couple of years has adopted this policy that essentially sets like a cap or a target for all large buildings in the city in terms of how much greenhouse gas emissions can come from them. It's called the type of policy is called a performance standard, and it's something that only three cities in the country have. So it's very innovative, very cutting edge, and that's something that really helped them move forward relative to other cities. And then when it comes to something like transportation, the city is going to have in place something called a congestion pricing program, which is meant to reduce, as the name would suggest, congestion in like a downtown area. And that's something that no other U.S. city has.
What kind of dollar amount is used in this effort to be spent on this? Some of this stuff seems like it could be expensive to retrofit something. And also the impact on people related to getting these sort of protocols in place.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's all going to matter depending upon, like, what specific improvements you're going to make. But at the end of the day, energy efficiency, just sticking with that, energy efficiency is usually more cost effective than, you know, just buying electricity, put it that way, like conventional generation. So there's certainly an upfront cost, but when you compare that to like the cost of electricity that you'd be paying if, you know, you were not pursuing something like energy efficiency, you're going to wind up saving money when it comes to efficiency.
Where does this rank in a lot of communities' priorities? Where their budget's going to go, where they're focusing. We're dealing with the pandemic right now where health issues and other things are coming into play, and some of the stuff will be kind of put on hold because it's not a current need, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, even before the pandemic, we saw that of the top, let's say, 20, 30 cities, they were prioritizing it in their policymaking process. But there was really a disparity between those top cities and the cities at the bottom. The cities at the bottom were really years behind cities in terms, or the top cities in terms of their prioritization of this. But to your point, it's an unknown question what's going to happen in the next year or so. This report only went through May of this year, so all the effects of COVID were just starting to hit city budgets. So we can't look at the results and really tell what COVID is doing. But you know, something that we're keeping an eye on, and by the time we release this report next year, we will be able to see, have budgets been cut because of COVID, or have staff been laid off? Like, those are the sort of things that, if they happen, that's certainly going to put a slowdown in city efforts.
We also wonder, we're fortunate here to have clean water on here. How much of an impact do you guys look at related to sort of part of that aspect of things, and also being able to, you know, keep things healthier in that regard?
So we focus largely on energy use, so we wouldn't get into something like water quality. But that being said, 4 or 5% of the report is dealt with, drinking water utilities and wastewater utilities, but it's focused more on what are those utilities doing to save energy, put solar panels on their property, that sort of thing.
I got it. Okay, if people want to find out more about this report, see where the city ranks, and also a little bit of some of the metrics on it, where's a good place to get the details?
It would be our website, which is ACEEE.org, so ACEEE.org. And once they get to the homepage, there'll be some prompts for the city scorecard, and they can also visit the local policy program page to get even more information.
Obviously, maybe they want to be a voice locally to get some of this changed, or at least in the right direction. David, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you for sharing with us today.
Thank you.
David Ribeiro, the lead report author for the ACEEE. A report, the City Scorecard 2020 for the American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy.